Let's come back to this Gemara, a pair of Gemaras, in search of clarity about our sugya on Lamed Vav Amid Aleph and the Taisus. We had jumped ahead to the end of the parak. Our Gemara again, Lamed Vav Amid Aleph. We left off here last time with three kashas. Lamed Vav Amid Aleph, the Gemara says the end of the Shemen sugya. We narrowed down process of elimination. Two Avaron, two first generation Avaron, both in Babel and Eretz Yisrael. Shmuel and Yochan both tell us Shemen Zayis is a Borei Pri Ha'etz. Shemen Zayis is a Borei Pri Ha'etz. So the first question the Gemara dealt with earlier was why doesn't it take even a further step up the way Yayin does? Mishnah implies it does not. The Amram say explicitly it does not. How come? Because the Gemara handled about that, but Zayin and Sud. And keep that in mind. Then the Gemara handled, okay, so it doesn't take a step up, but when is it even practicable and implementable that you make a Haitz? You never make any bracha on Shemen Zayis. Either it gets no bracha at all because it's Zuki Mazik, or its bracha is irrelevant because it's submerged as a tafel to the bread or to the anigron. So the Gemara solution had been, well, we have case number four, where it's anigron and it's lirafua. So anigron and, that's how we paskin. That's one way of reading the Gemara. Nigron and Refuah. So then it's not a tuple, then it's the Iker, and that's when you say Bar Priyat. So the Gemara wasn't done. And this is the piece of Gemara we had focused on yesterday. But what do you mean? Even there also there should be no Ha'etz because why shouldn't you make Ha'etz if it's the Iker because it's a Nigron and the Refuah? Why should you still not make Ha'etz? Because it's a Refuah. Because it's a Refuah. Because it's a Refuah. So who says you make a Bracha on a Refuah? That's the Gemara said. The Gemara said, I would have had a Hava Mina. This is why it's not so pashut. The Chiddush or the Amoraim right, the Gemara asked Pshita. And I think we spoke about this yesterday. I told you in Mefarshim. I forgot who it was. It's the Tosfos Ben Yehuda. Tosfos Ben Yehuda here in Lamed Vav Amid Aleph Demasal Pshita, he makes this point. Well, I mean, Pshita, they're definitely telling me a Chiddush that's a Ha'et as opposed to Shahakol, like any other Jews. And also a shchiddush that's ha'etz as opposed to borei pri etz hazayis. Okay, but Tosa, by that's a Tosa Rabbi Yehuda explains. But the assumption is that there's a larger chiddush in the fact that there is a bracha. There's no bracha on aluminum foil. You never make a bracha on aluminum foil, on eating aluminum foil, rachman aslan. But you do sometimes make a bracha on shemen zayis. It matters. It's a meaningful question to ask, is there a bracha? So that means that there's a... That's a chiddush. That there's a time when you say, why is that a chiddush? Is it obvious when it's an ikker? The Gemara said, no, I could have had a havelina that you don't make a bracha even when it's an ikker because of the refuah. My time became refuah, kol chavela liberchale, ka mashmalan. But there still is the hanah. That was the end of our Gemara, Lamed Vav Amid Aleph, that in a case when you're having the oil as the ikker in the anigram, so your primary focus is refuah. And I would have thought that if it's refuah, you don't make a bracha medication. Kamash malan you do. Why do you make a bracha medication? Because you're also having hana. And Tosis we had seen, that will take your question in just a moment. Tosis we had seen here said something at first we weren't really sure what Tosis was drawing there. I said, so you see from here that if the medicine tastes bad, you don't make a bracha. Medicine tastes good, you do make a bracha. We had said, well, that's exactly what the Gemara said. What's Tosis' point? So we began to understand what Tosfos Lamed Vav is driving at by looking at another Tosfos who quotes our Gemara. And by the way, I would like to fill in a missing Rabbi Akiva Eger. What do you mean, a missing Rabbi Akiva Eger? Not that I did Ksav Yad work and I did not uncover another edition of Rabbi Akiva Eger's Gemara, but you know on the side of the Gemara you have the Gilin Ashas. You've looked at it right in the past. I'm sure you've looked at it with other Rabbeim as well. So yeah, Gilin HaShas. So Gilin HaShas is margins of the Shas. It is margins of whose Shas? Those are the margins of Rabbi Akiva Eger's Shas. This is not Rabbi Akiva Eger's major chidushim. He wrote Svarim. But the printers at one point got their hands on Rabbi Akiva Eger's personal Shas, and they copied down all the notes that he had in the side of his Gemara. If you're Rabbi Akiva Eger, everyone wants to read the marginal notes in your Gemara. So that's Gilin HaShas. Now, so Gilin HaShas, he does a couple of things. He wasn't doing this for publication, he was doing it for himself. But he was a awesome Talmud Chacham and a methodical man. So there's a few different things that he'll write in his margin. So the famous ones where he has kashas, Tzarachin, Tzarachin Gadol, Tzarachin Katan. Sometimes though he'll just give you Maror Makomos, or he'll just try to give himself, writing down Maror Makomos. Now, because Jews have been studying Rekiv Eger's marginal notes for a couple centuries, one of the things that Rekiv Eger, he gives where he writes down for himself Maror Makomos the margin for one of several reasons. One of the types of Maror Makomos he'll write down, I think he already had Masorah, he lived after Masorah Sashas, pretty sure, so he didn't need to copy over the Masorah Sashas. So he'll write Maror Makomos for one of several reasons, one of which is, if he sends you to a Tosvos, usually it's the reverse Masorah Sashas. Meaning, when you learn a Gemara, and the same language appears elsewhere, that's what Masorah Sashas does, right? Sends you from Gemara to Gemara. If you're learning Tosvos, and Tosvos sends you to Gemara, so I don't know if it's a Masorah Sashas or someone else, who put in the parentheses, the blot, you know, here's where to find the Gemara. But how about the reverse? If you're looking at a Gemara that's quoted in Tosvos elsewhere, how do you know where there's a Tosfos that talks about my Gemara? If I'm learning the Tosfos and Brachas that quotes the Gemara Yevamos, if I'm learning the Tosfos and Brachas, I'll say, oh, Daf Kuftes. But how am I learning that Gemara Yevamos? How do I know that there's a Tosfos out there that quotes my Gemara? So that's what Rekiv Eger will often do. If he often would just point out on the Gemara, oh, Tosfos somewhere else quotes this Gemara. He does it pretty consistently. He does not do it here. So that's why I meant by we're filling in an extra Gilin Hashas. Rekiv Eger did not, but he could have, on Lamed Vav Amud Aleph, there could have been a little Rekiv Eger bullet. And it says, Ma'u Desei Mekevin the Refuah Kamachavin, that would have said, take a look at Tosis on Daf Mem Hey. And that indeed is what we did. We looked at Memhei, and we had seen that what? We had seen that that the Mishnah had said you make a machlokas, what bracha do you make on water? Al pipashas machlokas hatam, whether the bracha rishon is shahakol or bar nefashos, and we know how we pask it. We make a shahakol as the bracha rishon on water. But the Mishnah had added another twist, a adverbial phrase, or prepositional phrase maybe. It wasn't just show samayim, it was show samayim, Litzma'o. Why are we saying for thirst? Then you make a shako. As opposed to, says the Gemara, as opposed to? Chanakti umtsa. If you're not thirsty, you're something stuck in your throat, so then you don't make a shako, instead you make nothing. Give up. Tosa said, well, how about that? How about if I have an orange juice because something's stuck in my throat? So I could have even been medayik from the Mishnah. The Mishnah only mentioned Litzma'o by war, by nothing else. So apparently the necessity for tzmo as opposed to chanak yomtza doesn't come about. Right? Tosis instead says, even better be medayik the Mishnah, Farish Gemara. Which Gemara? Our Gemara. That's what Tosis said.
What?
And what Tosis said is, our Gemara, going back to Lamed, Vav, Amud Aleph, implies that if you drank orange juice, or chocolate milk, or a caramel latte, V8, whatever it is that you enjoy drinking, float your boat, or however you enjoy drinking your calories, but if you drink anything other than water to clear your throat, then you do make a shahakal, or maybe a haparpre geffen, if it happens to be wine. By the way, before you even go on, just to make this a little more practical, in case this sounds very theoretical, Post can point out, the 20th century Post can point out, this whole choking a piece of meat, hopefully that doesn't happen. When does this come up in a more premeditated way? In modern day, if you're not feeling well?
No,
what are you going to say? Right, I want to swallow a pill. So Post can point out, if some people swallow pills as is, some people need to drink something. If you're drinking water, that's chanak de'umtza. If I'm not really thirsty, I'm just taking a cup of water to get a pill down, no bracha. But if instead of having water, you're going to have orange juice or chocolate milk or whatever it is, so then, even though your primary purpose is is to get the pill done. That's mamish, there's toisus. Chanakte umtsa doesn't get a bracha, it's only by mime, it's not by other mashkin. Where does it come from? From our Gemara. Because our Gemara said, even though your primary purpose is refuah in having the shaman, but since you're also having hana'ah, you do have to make a bracha. So that's what the Tosis is basically making a parallel between Lama Vava Mouth and Mem Dalad Amabed Mem Heim Ra. Right? That we're saying, even though Lama Vava, we said, even though your Iker Kavana is Rafuah, Iker Kavanasa is Rafuah, but still there is also Hana, and therefore there is a Bracha by Shemin. So too, Tosa says here, by Shar Mashkin, even though your Iker Kavanaso is to take clear the Umtza, but since there's also, apparently, the Lord didn't say it, but apparently there's also Hana, and therefore there would be a Bracha, as opposed to Mayim, there's only Umtza, but there's no Hana. There's no hana, and therefore, there's no bracha. There's no hana because hana of water is tsama. And that's how Tosis puts the pieces together. The hana of water is tsama. So that's interesting. Just to think this out a little more, l'saberes ha'ozen, before we go on in Tosis, actually, let's not listen, be misaber ourselves. Let's go on Tosis. We had left off yesterday noticing this beginning of Tosis is a little bit, still a little bit sticky. And we're also not sure about the end of Tosis. And then we'll take a question from our sponsor. Tosis goes on to say, Rav Amram Piresh. Rav Amram says, Dafka lefonav lo boy baruchi. Avalacher of chayev. Chanak de umtsa, in a case where it's water, and not shar mashkin, so you don't make a bracha rishona. Again, it happens to be there was machlokas the Mishnah. What bracha rishona do you make on water when you're drinking litzmo? But whatever it is, we pass mishahako. The mashmos of litzmo was, but if it's chanak ti'umtza, there's no bracha. Only rishona. After all, that's what the Mishnah was talking about. Aval acharav chayim. But Rav Amram Gaon assumes that if you were choking and you drank some water to clear your throat, you don't make a shahako beforehand. You do make a shaha a bar nefashos after this. Rabbeinu Moshe Pirish Delohi. But Rabbeinu Moshe disagrees. Hold the inonena fila achar of Lord Boy Bracha. So machloka is Rav Amram and Rav Moshe. Pretty ironic. Who are these people? They look at the end and go, machloka's father and son. Was it Rav Amram and Rav Moshe? Whether you make a bracha acharona or not. So a couple of things. Number one is, if you're noticing the names, this is a little surprise. Who? Machlokas Rav Amram or Moshe? It's just ironic. And you wonder, well, what are they arguing about exactly? What's where Ben Amram is thinking? And what's the issue? What's the tzadim lakan, whether chanakti umtza, there is a bracha achron or not? There's clearly no bracha rishona, it's beferish and gemara. And you also might wonder, we left off with this, what's the kesher? It almost feels like it's just like a new tosis. The first tosis said shar mashkim chanak ti'um, so you do make a bracha, and then someone another ha'ara happens to be at the same line of gemara. So often when you have multiple ha'aras the same line of gemara, you have multiple tosis, and every once in a while you just have that longer tosis that really has separate paragraphs. Here it's not so long, but it looks like it's just sort of functioning like one of those long tosis. They're just like separate conversations that happen to be stacked. Is there any connection between the Reisha and Seifa? And, yeah, what do you say?
When you're talking about Hana in terms of drinking water, are we talking about, like, obviously water doesn't have taste, water never has taste. So are we assuming that that's talking about, like, from a hydration standpoint? Or, like physically, like, your mouth no longer being dry? Like, what exactly are we talking about?
Yeah, so that's a good question. That's what we began to think about yesterday, and even before it got into the Tosis, just to think about the Gemara is Mishnah presented with Sma'o, and the Gemara points out, the Gemara senses the fact that Sma'o is defining a subcategory of drinking water, and it's it's partitioning all cases of drinking water into litzmo as opposed to not litzmo. So what's litzmo and what's not litzmo? So the Gemara says, oh, it's litzmo as opposed to chanak de'umtza. And then the question becomes, you would have started asking, I say, well, I could think of other cases also. That's not the universe of all cases of drinking water includes more than just when I'm thirsty and when I'm choking on something. So we need to figure out, obviously these are categories. So what's the getter hadover? How we subcategorize? Lutzmo is presumably an example of one category, and chanak de'umtza is presumably a hagdara of the other subcategory. So what's the underlying issue? Lutzmo is an example of what? So Tosvos is already giving us an insight, which is by shelling su, by comparing the Gemara and Daf Mem Dalav Mem Hey to the Gemara and Laman Vav, Tosfos is saying that even though the Gemara never mentioned it, but the driver of the sugya is what was explicit. The driver of Mem Hey is what was explicit in Laman Vav, which is Ana. That's really what Tosfos is accomplishing. It's really the same thing. The Gemara never said that. The Gemara here was very quick. But Tosfos's truth is also very quick. So you have to stop and appreciate. You have to stop and smell the roses and appreciate. What Tosfos is saying is, if you look at the Gemara Mem Hey in the light of Laman Vav, he goes, no, what we're saying is, water has no hana other than Sama. So sometimes there is hana from water. Sometimes there is not hana from water. But other things, other than water, always have hana. Other foods and drinks always have hana, even if there's some other kavana as well. And that's what came up by Shemen. There's the hana of the oil in addition to the refuah shiva. So too, by Shar Mashkim, there's the hana of the chocolate milk in addition to the refuah, the clearing your umtza. Mashenkin, water does not automatically have hana. Sometimes it does, and sometimes it doesn't. Yes, so we might wonder. We might wonder, so what is the hana that you have from all other... So we have a lot of questions. What is the hana that... Let's put some... No pun intended, but let's put some flesh on the bones here. What is the hana that you always have from other foods that you don't have from water? And that will help us. Guys have been asking during Seder, like, well, Tosfos leads with, well, clearing your throat is not a hana. And by the same token, our Gemara Lama Vav says, Rufu is not a hana. And the question is, but it is a hana. Some say, well, the hana of clearing your throat is not a hana. Well, that begs the question. You were choking. It might mean literally choking, or it just means there's something stuck in my throat is uncomfortable. That was pleasure too. So who decides what's pleasure, what's not pleasure? So some say, you only make a bracha hana. You only make a bracha hana. But what's a hana? And why is umtza na hana? Why are fuh na hana? So, there are hands, but we'll take a pause just for a moment. This sugya is a great opportunity, as I had suggested at the end of Shir yesterday, to encounter the following. The guy Rai Taragin's timing was fantastic, and he mentioned this yesterday as well. Tosfos, the joke is, you ask a steer in Rashi's, you can ask a steer in Rajba's. But you can't necessarily quite ask the steer in Tosfos in the same way you ask the steer in Rambam's or steer in Rajba's, because if I have a Tosfos in Bava Kamma that says, if I have a Rajba in Bava Kamma that says X, and the Rajba in Kiddushin says Y, that's the problem, because... Exactly. Right. Mashenki, if a Tosfos in Bava Kamma that says X, and Tosfos in Kiddushin says Y, who was Tosfos? Who was Rabbi Tosfos? The answer is many people, right? As I'm sure you know. The approach of Bali HaTosas, like, you can't ask a steer in Rishonim. A steer in Amorim, because Shmuel says it's over here, Rav says it's over there, a steer in Amorim. Not all Amorim have to hold the same thing. That's Shmuel and that's Rav. They're two different people. So Tosfos was a subset of Rishonim, or Tamei Chacham, who lived over the course of 500 years or so, from around the year 1000 till around the year 1500, from around the time of Rif and Rashi until up until the time of Shulchan Aruch. The Bali HaTosas were a subset, but a group, a pretty large group, probably hundreds at least, of Rishonim, who lived in France and Germany in the 1100s, 1200s, into the early 1300s, began with one of Rashi's grandsons, Rabbeinu Tam, Rabbeinu Yaakov ben Meir, Meir was one of Rashi's, Rabbeinu Meir was one of Rashi's three sons-in-law. Rabbeinu Meir may have had a number of sons. Two of them are particularly famous. He had an older son, Shmuel, and another younger son, Yaakov. Both, obviously, grandchildren of Rashi, because Rabbeinu Meir was married to one of Rashi's daughters. Rabbeinu Meir's older son, Shmuel, later became known as Reb Shmuel Bar Meir, or the Rashbam. And his younger son, Rabbeinu Yaakov, went by a nickname, because Yaakov Ishtam. So Rabbeinu Yaakov, could be even from childhood, his friends called him when they played whatever the 11th century equivalent, the 12th century equivalent of punch bowl was. Whenever they, I don't know, played ball when they were 6 years old, they may have called him Tom, because they knew their chumash. They thought it was cute to call him Tom, and the name stuck. And Ali Amazeh, he was known even as an adult. As one of the Gedolei Rishonim, he was known by his nickname, Rabbeinu Tam. So Rabbeinu Tam had an approach to learning Gemara that spawned 150, 200 years of Rishonim using his approach in his land, in France and Germany. They were known as the Baliatosis. And his approach had legs, and it spread to Spain also, and the Ramban and his Talmidim also used the approach of Rabbeinu Tam. And that was to do what? It was to consistently do to Gemara what the Gemara does to Tanaim, which is to assume that Gemaras agree with each other unless otherwise specified, and we're going to have to miyashev steers between sugyas. And that's in a nutshell. And with that, Rabbeinu Tam himself has 1,000, 2,000, 3,000 chidushim. He had a nephew, Rabbeinu Yitzhak, otherwise known as the Ri of Dampierre, a city in France. And the Ri, Rabbeinu Tam was a fantastic mechadish, unbelievably creative mechadish. His nephew, and one of his prime talmidim, the Ri, was the one who, according to Chaim Soloveitchik, really sort of like begins to organize. Rabbeinu Tam wrote some of the chidushim down in a sefer called Sefer Yashar, but the Ri is the one who's really beginning to organize, regiment Rabbeinu Tam's chidushim, and it becomes a movement. So he begins to write, the Ri begins to write Tosfos, additions to all of Shas, and over the course of the 1100s and 1200s, the yeshivas throughout France and Germany are working with the Ri's notes on Tosfos, and different yeshivas are adding to it. There was a yeshiva in Shans, Song, S-E-N-S, or Shin Av Nun Sadi. There's a yeshiva in Tuk, or Tuch. And there was a yeshiva here and a yeshiva there. There were yeshivas in Paris. And over the next couple of generations, they're all Talmidim and Talmidim of Talmidim and Talmidim and Talmidim and Talmidim of the Rebbeinu Tam, working with their chidushim and their mahalach, and coming up with more kashas and coming up with more terutzim. And the Tosfos grow, the Sefer Tosfos starts with the core of what the Ri had written down, and then it grows and grows and grows over the next couple of generations. Different yeshivas had different versions of Tosfos, because everyone started from the same place, but different yeshivas had different additional he'aros and chidushim. The same way there could be different, you know, Reb Chaim Brisker, to make it a little more recent, Reb Chaim Brisker had different Talmidim, and so Brisker has his twist on Reb Chaim, Reb Baruch Ber has his twist on Reb Chaim, and so on and so forth. So when you open a Gemara as a boy, so there's Gemara, your Rebbe told you in 6th grade, in 5th grade, when Rebbe did a Schalos Gemara, here's the Gemara, and here's the Rashi, and here's the Tosfos. But not only is Tosfos not a single person, like Rashi is a man, Rebbe Yishmuel ben Yitzchak, but Tosfos is a collection. You often see in Tosfos that some is a code. Different answers, some is even different names, like here. But it's more than that. There are out there multiple versions of Tosfos. And many of them were in manuscript for a very long time and have been published more recently. I didn't bring along the actual black sefer. I think I might have left it downstairs or at home. But I actually have on Brachas, they have Reb Tosfos ben Yehuda, Sir Leon, and Tosfos Arash. And there are other, say, different mesechtas. There'll be different alternative versions of Tosfos, Tosfos Tuch, and Tosfos Shantz, Tosfos Be'er Perek, and so on and so forth. And oftentimes, when you come across a Tosfos and you're struggling to figure out Pshat and Tosfos, one of the key tools that you have that Achronim in the 1800s didn't have is you can open up an alternative parallel set of Tosfos in and look. And very often, looking at Tosfos Arash, or looking at Tosfos Tuch, or looking at Tosfos Shantz, or looking at Tosfos Be'er Perek will give you more insight. A lot of times the Tosfos, as they're published on the page, are very clipped. Sometimes you feel like he's saying it very abbreviated, and we need a couple extra words. So sometimes you look in the other Tosas, and you'll see a little more. A different Masechtas, or different Tosas are available, and different sets of Tosas may be more or less helpful on different Masechtas. Here in front of you, you have Tosas Ben Yehuda. Ben Yehuda Sir Leon. It's a full name. I think he was knighted. And his French name, his Hebrew name was Yehuda, but on his birth certificate, when he spoke to his local non-Jewish neighbor, they called him Leon. Yehuda Leib. Leon, Leib, is lion, which is, that was a French name, like Leib is a German name or Yiddish name, that corresponded to Yehuda. Like Aliyah Mazeh, you have Yehuda Leib. So he was going back almost 1,000 years. His name Yehuda Sir Leon. Yes, Sir. He lived in France. He lived in Paris, actually. He was a Talmud of the Ri. He was one of the Talmidim of the Ri, Rabbi Yehuda of Paris. So you take a look in his Tosas in here. Take a look on Mem, Hey, I'm an Olive. And you already begin to see they were getting a lot more. The Chanak de Umtza. Parallel is exactly our Tosas. But Davka shows Samayim. If you know what you're going to see is it's more or less the same as Tosas, but here and there he throws in extra lines, extra phrases. Sometimes there's an extra word that gives you insight. And we'll see Tosa Rosh adds even more. Chanakte umtsa, davka shows the mind. If you shayinu nenem in a mind. Only by water are you. Is there no brach by chanakte umtsa? Because there's no hanah, as our Tosa said. Holler when you notice something added here. Avashar mashkim nene vishdiyaso uve ta'amo. Like the Gemara earlier, Lamed Vav. What did he add? One word so far? Tamo. Tamo. One word he added so far is Tamo. The Hana, the Hana that all other foods and drinks have the word doesn't have is Tam. If you keep your eyes open in other Rishonim, you may see another suggestion given, which is what all other foods have that word doesn't have. We already came across this earlier.
Calories.
Zion. Everything else is Zion except for water. So that's looking at everything else gives you nutritional value, gives you calories. The nutritional value, nutritional tells you of water is the hydration. So, well, but do you need the hydration? If you're very fully hydrated, I'm topped off. I don't need it. All I need is to clear my throat. Alternatively, water has no taste. So there's two slightly different ways of thinking about the hana. As you move on, he also, number one, gives you a little more of a sense of who this Rav Amram is. This is Seder of Amram Gon, a Siddur written by Rav Amram back in the 800s. It was the community in Spain has sent to Shiloh, can you tell us how to daven? His answer was, yes, here you go. Here, that was the first time the Siddur was written down, or first or second time. Rav Netronoi Gon lived shortly before Rav Amram Gon. He also had written a Siddur. And in that Siddur, which is not only the Nusach HaTfilin Brachas, but also some of the Dinim, so he talks. He gives you a little more of the background. He also gives you more the Tosas Ben Yehuda and the Tosas Arash. They give you already a little bit more of the shock of Ataria between Rav Amram Gon and Rabbeinu Moshe. And he wasn't. This is not Rabbeinu Moshe. It's not Rabbeinu Moshe, son of Rabbeinu Amram, obviously. Rabbeinu Amram Gon is from the 800s. Rabbeinu Moshe Mikutzi is the Talmud of Rabbeinu Yehuda Sir Leon. So we're going to see more. We'll see next time what the Shaka Vatari is between them. And we'll also see, hopefully, that in fact it's not just a separate topic about the same Gemara. It's all flowing from the same issue. We'll see, Mitzvah, next time that some Rishonim disagree with Tosas' opening psak about drinking orange juice to swallow a pill. And we'll see how it plays out in the Torah of the Shulchan Aruch as well. Okay. Hope we'll wrap the sugya tomorrow. And next week we will, Mirt Hashem, I hope, explore the world of Ikkar and Tefil. And that will probably be our closing sugya, our crowning, climaxing sugya for the semester.
Why doesn't the Gemara mention anything about not being able to make the blood? If you're actually choking or can't. Or
yeah, so that's exactly what seems to be the machlokas here. So Paltoi, or Paltoi Gon, seems to have said, oh, you're choking, so you can't make a bracha. But afterwards, you're not choking anymore, so now you can make a bracha.
Only if you're choking,
you're supposed to make a bracha afterwards.
That's what he says. You make a bracha chrona. And Rambam says, Rav Moshe Rikutzi says, bracha chrona. You're not nana. Which might mean that Rav Paltoi may have had a different understanding of what this Gemara was saying.
I mean, like, in my mind...